You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Power of Continuing Education, Part 2. Science, History, and Language in Personal Research. Last episode, I discussed the power and importance of continuing your education after your school days. This is an important concept for life in general, and for those of you in the martial arts specifically, especially those of you who have achieved some sort of elevated status, be it black belt, instructor, or what have you. But more on that later. One of the major themes of the last episode was to encourage you to develop the habit of learning just a little tiny bit of something new every day. Beware, though, if you continue, this habit will tend to grow. Education is addictive. You may occasionally find yourself steeling your will to dive more deeply into a subject. Or you might find yourself feeling ignorant about something and wish to remedy that, perhaps because you were in a debate or a discussion and felt less informed than some others in the room. It could also be the case that you feel generally helpless in the face of earth-shaking issues. In any case, if you find yourself ready to more thoroughly examine a given subject, I thought I might offer a few bits of advice and a few examples. I have three major guidelines I wish to recommend when it comes to organizing your research into a given topic. You should look into the science, the history, and the language. First, the science. Try to figure out what relevant scientific aspect or aspects, if any, of the given subject you don't understand. Keep in mind, it's not necessary to become an expert with an advanced degree to drastically improve your understanding. You just want to upgrade a bit so that you can think and speak more critically and intelligently on the subject. Then there's the history. How new is this subject? You might be surprised at how far back into history it stretches. Try to inform yourself more deeply about the background of the topic. And finally, and perhaps most important, is the language. Many subjects of discussion and debate have a strong political or ideological element. The primary tool and weapon of politics and ideology is language. Clever people have manipulated language for millennia to persuade others more easily. There will frequently be confusing jargon, technical terms, emotional buzzwords, and even different terms for the same thing when heard from each side of a debate. Each side of an ideological dispute will tend to carefully parse their language in order to appear less unreasonable. For example, in the abortion debate, one of the two sides eventually adopted the descriptor pro-life as an alternative to anti-abortion. Learn how each side manipulates language in an attempt to sway your opinion, and so that you can more clearly understand any ideological subtext of claims and assertions that they make. Now, with all that out of the way, let me present a few sample subjects for research. This doesn't mean that I'm trying to convince you to study these particular topics. I could have just as easily picked others. What I hope you get from these samples and my suggestions for research into them is something of a better idea for how to organize and investigate any subject. I'm not going to suggest any answers, and I'm certainly not going to tell you what opinion to have. Instead, I'll provide questions to help structure the research, sort of like leads that a detective might investigate. Any opinions you might form should be your own. Okay, let's look at the first example. Race relations in the United States. First is the science. Investigate the question, what is race? Is it a legitimate scientific category, like species or genus. Based on the random stochastic nature of the way chromosomes combine when humans procreate, is race likely to determine much more about you than your appearance? Next is the history. What rationalizations did humans use through history to justify enslaving one another? Familiarize yourself with the history of the Atlantic slave trade and the Middle Passage. Why African slaves? After all, there were millions of Native Americans already here. Study the question of whether liberation from slavery in 1863 and 1865 put African Americans on a level playing field. Learn about Reconstruction in the South and the rise of post-war white supremacists. Research the Jim Crow laws. Do you know the rough numbers of how many black men were lynched in the United States from the end of the Civil War until today? Learn about the practice of redlining and its influence on discrimination in housing and for its effect on the accumulation of wealth for African Americans. Learn about discriminatory finance laws. Study the civil rights movement and what it accomplished. Finally, look into the language of race relations. Why and when did the terms Negro, colored, black, or urban move into and out of fashion? What does the term microaggression mean, and should you be concerned with it? Once you have thoroughly researched these subtopics, you might be better armed to speak thoughtfully and responsibly on the subject of race relations. Let's move on to the next sample subject, GMOs. First, the science. What does it mean to genetically modify an organism? Is there anything we eat, aside from salt, that is not genetically modified? What are the different methods of genetically modifying organisms? Now comes the history. Is the breeding of domestic plants and animals for the purpose of making them better food sources a form of genetic modification? How long has man been modifying the organisms that we eat or that we use for other purposes? What was the Golden Rice Project? How far back does resistance to genetically modified organisms go? Then we come to the language of the GMO debate. Look up the recently coined word Frankenfood and see how it is used. Let's move on to the next topic. Climate change. First, the science. Learn about carbon dioxide and its role in the greenhouse effect. Learn what the greenhouse effect is. Learn about other greenhouse gases and their levels of potency as such. Learn how many parts per billion of carbon there are in Earth's atmosphere right now, compared to its level over the last few million years. Learn about what a runaway greenhouse effect has done to the planet Venus. Study how climate change affects the oceans, most especially the pH level of seawater, and what it means if those levels change significantly. Now the history of the climate change question. When did humans begin to significantly ramp up their emission of carbon? And at what rate did it continue to ramp up until the present? When did scientists first begin to become concerned with climate change? When, how, and why did the opposition to the idea that climate change is real get started? Now for the language. Did you know that there is a vast difference between climate and weather? Learn the difference. Why is the phrase climate change used more now than the older phrase global warming? Okay, let's go on to one more topic. Vaccinations. First, the science. Learn a bit about how vaccines work. Learn about substances that are added to vaccines as preservatives and as adjuvants. And, oh, by the way, what the hell is an adjuvant? Look into how safe the science says that these additives are. Learn about the difference between elemental mercury and mercury that is molecularly bound in a compound, and the level of toxicity of each. Study the science of what is currently known about what might cause autism. Now the history of the vaccine question. When was the first vaccine developed? Why does smallpox no longer infect and kill humans? Who is Andrew Wakefield? And what role did he play in the anti-vaccination movement? Who is Jenny McCarthy? And what role did she play? Now for the language of vaccination. What does it mean when a vaccine is said to be, for example, only 50% effective? Research why many of those who were formerly known as anti-vaccination activists now refer to themselves as vaccine safety advocates. These have been just a few sample subjects for illustrating an approach to structuring your research. These principles can apply to using research efforts to lead to a greater understanding of the martial arts as well. Whether you have no experience, a bit of it, or are already at a high level, research into various aspects of the martial arts can be useful, interesting, and richly rewarding. First, the science. Learn about the various types of martial arts. Look into the physics of martial arts techniques. Study exercise science to help estimate the possible fitness benefits of the various types of martial arts training. Examine the spectrum of martial arts programs, one end of which is those that are based on pseudoscience, and the other end of which is those that are firmly based on biomechanics and physiology. Now for the history. Research how much we know about how ancient people fought. Learn about how the development of gunpowder affected the martial arts as practiced in Europe. Learn about how the occupation of Japan by American troops after World War II propelled the growth of the Asian martial arts in the West. Learn about how the first Ultimate Fighting Championship and the Grappling Revolution affected the course of modern martial arts. There's a common tendency among martial artists, once they reach a certain level, to act as if they have learned enough. I personally utterly reject this tendency. As I said last episode, to me, continuing education is on a par with personal hygiene. I feel the need to pursue it every day. And of course, I believe that black belts and instructors should also be spending the time and energy to continue their education as well. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think. And check out old episodes of the Martial Brain podcast. And while you're there, pick up a Martial Brain t-shirt at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.